Well, thank you very much again for interviewing with us tonight on FMA Pulse. And can we start out by you telling us a little bit about your history, your background, and also how Amara Arcanis was formed?
Well, my history, first I grew up in the southern Philippines. I was born there, Sumbawanga City, that's in Mindanao, you know. I was exposed to martial arts at a young age, you know, playing with my grandfather in European fencing, two version, the sword, the saber, and the foil fencing, you know, which is the modern fencing now. But it's a like a combined version of the Spanish and the European, you know, the Spanish and the French sword, you know. And then I trained with the local teacher in Kuntao, which is in the in Sambuanga. It's called Kuntawan Silatan, the local version. I don't know if it has something to do with the Indonesian or Malaysian, but maybe, you know. But it's more of the version of mixed fighting, you know, mixed martial arts,
Before
where you
mixed
have
martial
everything.
arts, yeah, before mixed martial arts
Yeah.
was actually a home name.
Yeah. So during the time, it's like we call it the Sambuanga, which is, you know, the place. Sumbawanga martial arts, you know, the Sumbawanga version of Kuntawan, you know. Then from there, I went to my first karate school. Or before karate school, I went to a boxing school owned by my uncles, you know, Ramon and Tony. My father also taught me empty hand, the military version of self-defense, and I went to Kyokushinkai school. That was the first karate school that I enrolled in. Then from there, after when I was, I think, 18 years old, when I was promoted to a black belt and competed in several tournaments and represented Mindanao in Manila. And so happened that I was going to Manila to further my education. So I went and then I met all these people in karate. That's where I learn of the different systems too. And also in Arnis, you know. Well, actually, during my time, we didn't use sticks. We used live swords, you know.
Oh, even
That's
just for
why
practice?
in Kuntao and in, you know, when I was in Sambuanga, my instructors were using live swords. My grandfather has his Spanish saber and his foil sword, you know. So they call florete, you know, which means the tip, round thing, the tip of the foil, you know. And yeah, go ahead.
Guru, you know, there's that debate of whether there was, you know, the Spanish fencing, if there was, whether there was, Escrima had an influence in Spanish fencing. And since you did take, European
Yeah.
fencing, do you, what's your
Yeah.
view on that? Do you think that, the Filipino martial arts had a influence in with the Spanish fencing?
Yeah, not only the Spanish, all the arts that went to the Philippines, you know. The American art, you know, that uses saber too, the Japanese art, you know, the Chinese art that use broadswords, you know. Well, we have our own local broadswords, which is kalis, you know, or barong, you know. These are broadswords of the Filipino weapon arts. But like I said, I always, when somebody talks to me about Filipino being a pure martial arts, I said, the way I learned it, it's not pure art, you know. It evolved, you know, from all the other arts, you know. It studied the other arts to develop their own art, you know. They had
Right.
their art. It's like any art in the world. Like the Japanese, they went to the China, and when they came back, they mixed the Chinese art with their Japanese art, with
Right.
you know,
And
which.
infuse their culture with it.
The same thing. The same thing. That's how I, you know, that's how I understood it, you know. That's why when I meet people and talking to me about Filipino martial arts is a pure art, I said, no. If you see the major arts in the Philippines now, it's always mixed with the Japanese or the Chinese art, you know. Even Kung Tao, and if you see the movements, it's, you think it's Chinese art, you know.
Right. It even sounds Chinese. Kun Tao, the.
Tao, they changed into Taw.
TW.
In some Blanca, we had an A and N, so Kung Taoan. So, whatever, it formed the Filipino martial arts, you
Right.
know, which is arm to unarm. That's
Right.
why I was trying to explain to them that in my own version, I call it a system of systems, you know. It came from different systems, and then you form the Filipino system, which is the FMA, and then from the FMA, which is a system, under it are the different systems, you know, whether it's arm or non-arm, you know. That's for me, that's how I explain Amara Arcanis. Well, it's a system when you go to Praksyon, system and Praksyon, you know. But actually, it's a curriculum for martial arts education, you know.
Right. Can you expand on that? Because you explained that Amara Arcanis is not a style, but a martial arts education program. Can you expand on what you mean by martial arts education?
Martial arts education is explaining the basic, you know, because we have so many systems in the Philippines. Each system has its own foundation, which I call wisdom of the art, which is the basic of the art, you know, which to me is the Kali of Amara. Kali is the acronym of Karunungan Lihim, the secret knowledge or the wisdom of the art, you know. A lot of systems in the Philippines, a lot of islands, a lot of dialects. Probably if you count the islands, each island might have a system, you know. So you have what, 7,110 islands, so probably you have that much system. So how do you teach it today, you know? Today you cannot teach everything, you know, but you have to break it down into simple, basic. So, like the Philippines now, they have a bill that wants to merge everybody. So the only way that they'll get together and form a curriculum for the education is to put all their basic, you know, their basic one curriculum that everybody is, what they call this, will accept it, you know. Because everybody has his own basic, you know. Some will start with weaving techniques, you know. Some will use the runabout or the circular techniques. Some does fanning for their basic, you know. But actually, if you go to the old school, the foundation is always the quadrant basic, you know. There are two strikes that, you know, is very important when you learn the basic. It's the forehand backhand strikes. That all the techniques come from that, you know. Forehand backhand downward diagonal and forehand backhand upward diagonal, you know. Even the horizontal is a forehand backhand.
Just
So,
sideways.
yeah. So I realized it. Because I went to the Goju College, when I trained with Grandmaster Yamaguchi, I was given the privilege to train with them in Kyoto, out Japan Karate College. So I saw how they teach. Before they taught Goju, they taught first karate, the basic of karate, which is common to all the major styles, you know.
Right, so that would play into your theory on
Yeah, the
system of systems, where karate is the almost like the umbrella,
yeah.
and then
Yeah, like the umbrella, it's the system of systems, you know.
and then you have your
But the
Shotokan.
system, yeah, the system of systems, they didn't explain it to me that way. I just like when I did my martial arts education curriculum, that's where I started to use the word system of systems, you
Right.
know.
And it makes a
Well,
lot of
maybe
sense.
somebody already used that, but I just like, you know, just came out, you know. There are good teachers who might be using, you know, that term, but have not explained it. Like, you know, they don't have a chance to, like, talk to FMA Pulse and explain what system of system is all about, you know. Maybe you've heard of this before from other masters. So, but me, I'm just explaining the way I teach it.
Right.
That's why I call it a system of systems, you know.
Well, you're actually the first one that I've heard it from, so.
So, your first time to hear this?
I've heard it from you, you know, when we've spoken in the past, but before you, I've never really heard it as a system of systems. But you know, the more I think about it, the more it actually makes sense.
Yeah, because what I want to do is have the FMA, give the FMA an identity, you know. Because all these years, all these good teachers who came here taught FMA the identities of their system, you know. You can have FMA and then you have Amara, or you have FMA and then you have Balintawak. So what they're expecting really is the system of Balintawak. So the identity goes to the system, not goes to the FMA, you know. So, like, you know, I'm still Filipino. I want everybody talks about Filipino martial arts, but FMA up to this point, for me, the way I look at it, you know, I don't know with the others, but I look at FMA, it doesn't have its identity yet, you know. It's always identifying the systems under it, you know, all these years. So maybe they'll think about it, you know. It's not nothing wrong at all about it, you know. But the art of stick fighting in the Philippines is under the Filipino martial arts. So the Filipino martial arts should be the main art, which is the umbrella art, which is a system of systems. That's how simple it is. I don't know if they will accept it, but that's the way I teach it. That's the way I explain it to my students, you know. It's like the difference between effective and efficient.
And it
I'm
should.
talking to you that way because I just finished my program. I have a workshop tomorrow called knife work, you know. So I wrote something about it in the FMA Digest as a general concept, as a, you know, as a whole, not just for Filipino,
What
for
is
the
it?
whole. In the FMA I wrote about the way of the knife. The title was Daga, Filipino Daga, so I explained it as a whole, not just for Filipino, as a general rule in knife fight, because you wanna, there are self-defense and one strike, one kill, you know. So what are you trying to teach? Self-defense, or you know, or you wanna teach them? Although the what you want to say is you disable somebody without really finishing him off. That's self-defense, you know. Because like in America, you have laws, so once you once you leave somebody in the street dead, so it's hard to defend yourself, you know.
It is, because you could defend yourself and then maybe, accidentally kill your opponent or purposely kill your opponent. But it's even just the self-defense excuse is not even really, accepted now. I mean,
Because a lot of a lot I've been to so many knife workshop, you know. It's the self-defense is not really explained, you know. It's always you defend yourself and then you counter, so you know, you go home, the other guy stays in the streets, you know.
Right.
But I want the self-defense. When you say self-defense, is to check the weapon hand or check the muscles that will disable him from doing further, you know, attacks.
Right.
So you don't really finish him off. You have the options, if it's a knife fight, you know, you have the options to, you know, call the police, you know, or the
Right.
police come. You're right. That's really self-defense. You didn't finish him off, but you dealt with this the threat, which is his arm, you know, his weapon hand or
Right,
his muscles, you know.
right. And you might be able to just
So
subdue them or get them in some kind of
yeah,
submission
but
hold or.
because in the Filipino art, when you say knife fight, you know, you go home alive, the other one stays in the streets,
Right.
you know. So it's his luck if he can reach the hospital, you know. If you know really the vital points where to strike, then probably the other guy would not be able to reach the hospital, you know.
Right.
But most of the teachers never taught it here. They didn't taught the vital points of where to strike the knife, you know. So, you know, but when for us who really learn and then experience knife fight, although it's not the same in, you know, in Amara, we explain it as even you've been in 100 knife fights, the situation will always not be the same, you know. So you have to be non-structured in the streets, you know.
Right.
So I'm doing this program now. I'm explaining knife stopping power. So, you know, like there are so many kinds of grips, you know, in weapons. You have the sword grip. There are so many kinds of posture. You have the military fighting posture. You have the sword fighting posture. What is really the fighting posture in a knife fight? So every time I go to a workshop, everybody teaches different kinds of posture in fighting. But, you know, the Filipino posture, even the way they hold their weapons, you know, the three fingers, that is the one that grips the knife, you know. And then the index finger is just the support. And then you have the thumb on top of the blade. If it's one single blade, at the back of the blade, you know, so you have power to slash. And then wherever your thumb points, that's where when you crush, you know. And you have the different cuts, you know. You have the C cuts to, you know, little cuts. And then, so the thumb helps you when you slash. And then the 135 degrees when you hold the knife for slashing. So it's like holding a gun, you know, the three fingers, pinky, ring finger, middle finger grips the knife, and then the thumb, you see, it's like holding the trigger. But in the knife, it's like supporting the three fingers while the thumb is on top of the other side of the blade, you know. So it's actually 135 degrees. So you start from the bottom of the knife and you slash, so you have a bigger cut, you know. So this is my program for tomorrow, and then training safety, you know, for, you know, I have mindset is very important in knife fight. Knife grip, stances, and center of gravity, which is, you know, came from my book, angles of attack and defense, you know, defensive responses, you know. So this is part of the reality of knife fighting, you know. And probably I'll buy me some meat tomorrow and wrap it in a paper or plastic and then show them how.
Show them the realities.
Knife, even, yeah.
Of so a real cut.
If you're not a knife fighter, so you know. It's better to get not be involved in knife fight.
Right. You know, and the thing is, when you watch Hollywood movies and you see them get slashed, you know, and they it might show like a line of red for the blood. You know, it's nothing like that. The skin splits open. The...
Yeah, it's different. It's different. It's movies are different. You know.
Right.
But if you see the real fights, because I've experienced that. I grew up in the southern Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the old days when you have the run-ups, you know, where you have families against families, you know, fighting each other with swords, you know, you know, land grabbing, something like that, you know, even up to now, you know, the military versus the rebels, you know.
Right.
There was a time, 1970, when we had this conflict, and you see military people who were sent back, you know, the dead soldiers, they're not just shot, they were like chopped, you know, so, so you know, that's why if you're not really a knife fighter, you know, and you have never experienced knife, it's different when you just watch, you know, or be copying what your teacher teaches you, you know,
right,
without, you know, the teacher explaining what the pain, you know, the different kinds of pain. Some you don't feel it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some you feel it, you know. It depends on the weapons that you use.
Right.
And also the grip. I wanna, cause there are so many grips. There's sword grip, hammer grip. You know, there are so many grips for weapons. But for knife, I think the Filipino. It depends on the teacher. But my teacher was a survived in the war. So he taught me a grip that will end the fight. That your knife is, you're still holding your knife.
Mm-hmm. What kind of grip is that?
The one that I was explaining to, the three fingers.
Oh, okay.
Gripping the knife, and then the index is to support, and then the thumb is on top. You know, that's the best grip. But sometimes you see Filipinos when they hold the knife, they put it on the side. Well, you know. But it depends on some people have big hands, they can, they are stronger. Like me, I have a small hand, so it's more like really adjusting my fingers to the weapon, you know. Say, be able to grip it and up to when the fight is done, you know. So this is my program for tomorrow. Now, Amara means balance, you know. So in martial arts, you have to be balanced, especially in weapons. The stances are different than the traditional stances that you see in empty hands, you know. So you have the preparatory and the stance of engagement. And we always keep the center of gravity. So we always use a short stance. When I say short stance, it's the most comfortable stance. In Amara, that's the first stance that we teach the students, you know, the walking stance where you go up and then when you get old, that's the same distance, you know, the same pattern of stances that you use. And then the maneuvering in the Filipino is always like the female and the male triangle, that's their basis.
Right.
But we have also the pattern, which is you combine it into a X pattern. You know, the points of the triangle, you put it together so you can move diagonal 45 degrees and really move out, turn into, you know. So it's like that. You just put it drills so that they'll get used to that, because sometimes they teach you how to, okay, move to the left side, you know, move to the right side, So sometimes when somebody attacks you, he doesn't stop in front of you. So you can move to the right, but he's still there, you know. Sometimes he passes, when he attacks you, he's so fast that you have to move, not just moving 45 degrees. So you have to turn, full turn, so you'd be facing now his side and his back, you
Right.
know, where you can strike him and he cannot defend himself because he doesn't have means to defend his back, you know. So these are the things that a lot of teachers teach this. I saw this in, you know, that's why Amara is just I simplified, you know. I simplified the approach teaching. That's why my title is Master Teacher. So Amara is more than just a style, you know. The style is system and function, but it's a systematized martial arts education curriculum. Uniting many diverse elements into a seamless practical whole.
Right.
So it's a product of, you know, of my many years of training experience, you know. So those systematize in the matrix of modern educational practices. So
Right.
on synthesize, you know. That's how I teach it. Now that in fact on March 6, we have this United Fellowships of Martial Artists. So the people I met and I saw that they teach it the way I teach it, you know, it's not only me. I saw teachers teach the same way that I teach, you know, maybe
Right.
different vernaculars, but the thought is the same. So, you know, I nominated them to this Hall of Fame, sponsored by the United Fellowship of Martial Artists. So I said, I know you have all the awards already, you have Grandmaster, but these titles are for your system, you know. But what I want you to have is a master teacher, a teacher's recognition. So I
Right.
nominated them for the propagation and development of Filipino martial arts education, you know.
Right. Because you also you're telling me that there's a difference between an instructor and a teacher. Can you expand on the differences of that?
Yeah. Well, instructor, their students in their system, in their style, while the teacher develop them as a whole, you know. That's why it's not just training them in his system, but training him in all the systems. So the only way you could teach martial arts education is you have to consider the other systems, you know. That's why we go back now to system of systems, you know.
Right.
Like in Amara, you cannot go to Amara, which is the posture of Amara is Serada, tricircular. That's why it's a Serada or a closed form posture. Now, all the classical systems, which I didn't call it classical, so it will be common to all. I call it classical maneuvers in my
Right.
book. You have a quadrant, which is Serada. You have weaving, which is Sinawali.
Right.
You have runabout, is Redonda. And you have Baning, which is Abanico. So I have modules that I did to expand the concept of my book. I think I gave you the foundation, you know,
Right.
introduction, something. Yeah, I gave you a copy. I'm finishing now the PIP, which is the classical maneuver of the Ginunting, which is scissor. The scissor maneuvers, okay. That's where a lot of the old school, they call it, when they do it, they call it abacadas or the abecedario. But the old school calls also for the single stick techniques, abecedario, but the double, I use it in the double sticks, you
Right.
know. So defending yourself against squadron attack angles or defending yourself, the the pattern will defend yourself against cinco tiros, you know. So you have scissor defense on the high left, high right, low left, low right, and in the center. So it is patterned after the cinco tiros attack, you know, or high left, low right, and left, high, low left, and high right, and then center. But I use two, quadrant attacks, Ricochet attacks, and the cinco tiro attacks. So the cinco tiros are from the old school. So until such time, but you always start with just double forehand back, double forehand inward, high, and double backhand downward, low. Because in the streets, there's no, the first attack will be wherever it comes, you know, you have to deal with it. So it can be high and low, it can be side to side high or side to side left or horizontal. It will be able. So actually, the classical maneuvers are based on the foundation, which is my foundation is Cruzada, you know, based on the eight lines of motion, you know. So there's no more and no, there's no more, there's less than that, which is the six sides, you know. You have six, you have five, you have four, you have two, and the end you just have one, wherever it comes from, you know. That's how I teach my art.
And Grulu, in your book, it says that Amara Arcanis is a three-faceted art. For example, the first facet is the arm fighting with the use of weapons.
Yeah, we start with the arm before we go to the unarmed. That's why in the logo, you see the logo of the book, it explains my art. The seal of Amara Arcanis is the sun with the three divisions, and the three stars denotes the three main islands group of the Philippines, Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. The rays are moving clockwise, denoting forward evolution. The kris denotes the original fighting art of the bladed weapon, and the cross sticks denotes the modern art of stick fighting.
And
And here comes that.
when you say revolution, you mean like the development of the art?
No, because the Filipino art started with bladed weapon until the Spaniards came, and then,
Outlawed the use of weapons.
yeah, they don't, they were, you know, they didn't. No, they stopped the use of, you know, people carrying bladed weapons, so they changed it into sticks. That's why you see the puño, the use of the butt of the stick, came when you use, before there was no puño in swords. You only used the sword to finish your opponent or to disarm your opponent. But when they translated it into sticks, they have the puño now. The puño acts like the knife to you know, or the puño is part of the in-quarter fighting techniques, which in the sword, when I was in Kumtawan, they never taught us to strike with a puño, you know. We always strike with a sword. So when I learned the stick, there was already the 2 inches below the grip, which is used for in quarter, you know, the puño, whatever. It can be used as a knife, it can use as, you know, ice pick. Still, it can create, you know, trauma to a person when you strike, you know. So that's how lethal the sticks can be. You were telling me about I was telling you about the logo. The last part of the logo is the ancient Filipino character in the middle, which comes from the alibata, in the triangle stance, which, you know, ka. I just use it for fish or the empty hands, you know. Now the M stands for mandirigma, which is the warrior, which every practitioner of Amara is. And the triangle denotes the three aspects of the art of Amara: the use of bladed weapons, the use of stick in alternative weapons and the use of empty hand. Is that what you were asking me?
Sort of. It was also talking about like where the first facet was armed fighting with the use of weapons,
Okay.
and then unarmed, I
First,
believe, is the next facet.
yeah, we have like I start with doble baston, arm. Everybody starts. Some of them, the old masters use solo baston, you know. But even up to now, they always put solo baston and then doble baston and spada y daga, you know. But in education, to be able to teach the students to develop their less dominant hand, you go immediately to double baston, to the double sticks. Because when you go to knife and dagger, the knife will move the same thing as the stick, you know, the double hand stick. And when you go to the single stick, then the hand without the weapon will be the checking
The
hand.
checking hand.
Yeah, that's very important in knife fight. That's why, you know, in knife fight, the checking hand will help in checking, and then you can come in and do your strategy. You cannot just, that's why there are two kinds of posture that I don't, you know, with my experience, we were taught in the military to stand on a left forward stance, and then the knife is on your hips, you know, and then the left hand is in front. Purposely, the left hand is to defend yourself. But if you're fighting with somebody with a knife, that hand in front is going to cut your wrist tendons, you know, with that. So you're disabled immediately. Now it's easy to deal with the hand with the knife. And plus the reach, if you stand on a right fighting stance with your knife on your right hand, you have, and we have, both of us are fighting in a distance where, you know, the middle range, your knife can touch me while my knife will touch you but will not be able to really stab you deep, you know,
So
because
it's
of
not
my
lethal.
posture. I'm in a left fighting stance when my knife is on my right back. So when I stab you, even when I thrust you, I have to move my hips, but it doesn't, it's not the reach that somebody in front of you standing on a right fighting stance and his knife is on the right hand. He has more reach, you know. So these are the things that I've not seen teachers who teach knife fight, you know.
And is this non-Filipino martial art teachers, or some of them are Filipino martial art teachers?
Yeah, even Filipino martial art teachers, you know, they put emphasis in partner system, slashing. But, you know, the most important thing is your first technique, you know. Like I said, one, I come from the school that teaches one strike, one kill, and where to strike, you know, where to strike, where to put your blade, so to deal with the threat immediately. So it depends if you want to deal with it. So a lot of people will try to get your body. But in the Filipino art, you deal with the weapon hand first. Take the threat out so you can come in. So like, that's the door. If you open the door, then you're in, then you can finish off your opponent. But if you, in self-defense, if you deal with the door, you open the door, you already deal with the person. You don't have to finish him. So, you know, in self-defense, that is more the mindset. All you have to do is cut the tendons, you know, from the inner arm, cut the muscles of the inner arm or the bicep and the tricep. So you disarm him. You want him to go down, you know, you just cut his quadricep, the muscle on the thigh. That's about 6 inches above the knee. So he goes down, then you don't have to finish him off, you know. But, you know, in the Filipino art, although it's self-preservation, it ends the fight, you know. So from a defense to offense, but the offense is right there. It's either in your armpit or in your carotid or in your urinary bladder where you can never reach the hospital.
Right, all lethal
Yeah.
lethal points.
But I'm telling this to you, but most of the teacher, my teacher will not teach it, you know. These are the vital points that really will do a lot of, you know, damage, you know. That's why I don't teach it to my students, you know. In workshops, I don't teach that, you know. I just teach them the self-defense, you know. But I don't really teach them how to, because Amara is not about inflicting really, you know, so much pain on your opponent, you know. It's just, you know, for you to survive, you know, we can use the self-defense strategy, and that's enough, you know. Unless you're really, you know, you get stabbed first and you have to deal with it, and then you have to finish it because it's gonna end your life. So, you know, one has to go home, and it has to be you know. Okay. What else do you want to
No, it's like the more that I learn about knife fighting, the more I
know?
never, ever, ever want to get into a knife fight.
Yeah, even me, with all my experience, you know, I was in my book, I was attacked in the streets with my wife, you know, when she was pregnant to my son, Mark, you know. Actually, in training, everything just comes out, you know. You don't even know what happens, you know. Like every, it's not a fixed scenario that what your teacher teaches you know.
There's a
That's
lot
why
of
it's non-structured, you know.
a lot of variables.
So, yeah. So if you're not used to the different classical, like in Amara, well, I have a student who told me like, "Oh, I understand Amara." I said, "Really?" Because up to now, I'm still studying my own system, you know. Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, because it's not just learning how to move tricircular. It's learning how to defend yourself with a tricircular. So if you see the classicals, you see the mechanics of each classical, you know. Crossada is to defend yourself, block and strike, although both of them are still strikes, you know. So in the Filipino art, defense and offense is just a perception. At the last, the block is still a strike. So that's for defending yourself from a thrust, you know. Sinawali, if you don't understand Amara, Sinawali will all be offensive techniques. They teach it as a strike. Redonda, they teach it as an offensive, you know, circular or, you know, slashing strikes, you know, slashing motions, you know. Abanico is more of like crossada. Abanico or fanning motion, block, and then the second technique is to counter, you know. But without this, that's why I teach the classical maneuvers of the different system, or and put my foundation, which is crossada, which is the quadrant angles. Actually, there, you know, there are eight angles, but I broke it down into geometric signs, you know, for education purposes,
Which is
so
all in
it'd
your
be
book.
easy for them. When I teach somebody from the Western world, if I said Abhyata Sarada, he'll never understand, you know. So to make the course easier for him to understand, I start with the forehand backhand English. That's what I told Professor Soteco, who is one good teacher in the Philippines, who has, I think, who inherited the curriculum of Remy Presas, you know. So he's one good teacher, but, you know, like I said, his martial art education is based on his art, you know. So for everybody to merge, or for everybody to be comfortable, there should be a common basic that coming from different arts, you know, so everybody can merge. Now, the progressive, which is the advanced, is the systems, you know. So it's like me. I teach all the classical maneuvers of the different systems, and then they come into my system because the requirement of Amara is the classical maneuvers of the different common system.